Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Great to have you with us. Andrew Callahan on the show today. Tomorrow, Dave Revson from BTN. Neil Coulong. And Matt Leon from Philadelphia. And then Nathan Davis will join us on Friday. And then it's time for more picks on Friday. So we have a lot going on as Penn State gets ready for a big game against Ohio State tomorrow night at the Jordan Center at 8. And it's great at this time of the year to look at a game between Penn State and Ohio State in mid-February and refer to it as a big game. The Big Ten tournament begins 2 weeks from today. Penn State and Ohio State will not be playing 2 weeks from today because right now Ohio State would have a double bye and would not play until 2 weeks from Friday. Penn State would get an opening round bye and would not play until 2 weeks from tomorrow. So that's where they are at this stage.
Well, it's great to hear. First off, Steve, great to hear from you as always. But it's great to hear from other people in the basketball world, like Doug Birdsong when he joined us yesterday. People from afar seeing what good Penn State is doing this year. And just to see as they continue to go up and up in the standings and how great it would be for them to hit double digits for their record in the Big Ten Conference.
Well, you do it a step at a time, and obviously they've taken several big steps, including winning five of their last six. But I do go back, Sean, to the game with Northwestern. I said it on the show that day, and then I talked about it in the pregame show that night with Dick. So I was watching a team coming together at that point, and I could see that the talent was there, but did the talent meet the confidence? And I related it to how I felt the same way I felt before the Minnesota game in football a year and a half ago. In that pregame show with Jack Hamm, I said this is a really important game because, I said, not just because of the bounce back factor with Michigan, I said this is a really talented team that just needs one to send it on its way confidence-wise. Well, it turned out that after a sluggish first half, Penn State had a great second half, made big plays, won the game in overtime, and that was the jumping-off point. Because you just, sometimes you get a sense and a feel for something like that. I'm not going to sit here and pretend I'm the expert, but when you're around something enough, you kind of get a gut feeling about where it's headed. Well, I got the same feeling the day of the Northwestern game with basketball. And I made the statement on the broadcast, and I said it on the show that day, that I'm seeing the talent. They now need to do something to enhance that with confidence by a performance. And that I had the same feeling before the Minnesota game that I'm having before this Northwestern game. Well, Penn State blew Northwestern out by 15 points. And I walked out of there that night saying, okay, that kind of validates what we were talking about. They're on their way. And then, of course, then the Josh Reeves thing happened. All right. So then they go through that four-game span. He gets back in. They've won five of six, including three in a row, which I think validates how I felt before Northwestern. Their talent is one thing. You can have a lot of talent. If your talent doesn't have a lot of confidence, or they're still in that mode of, we think we can win, we hope we can win, as opposed to really knowing that you will win, that is something that, that's when you have something special coming together. You know, you talk about Doug Birdsong. That's what Bucknell's had. Bucknell's had confidence all these years. When they play in the Patriot, they're a confident team, very confident team. And that's why you see the results that you get from Bucknell, because they have veterans that have been through it, and they walk out there, and they know what it takes to win. They know they have to take care of all the little things to then take care of big things. That's savvy to go with confidence. So you'll have two confident basketball teams playing tomorrow night in the Jordan Center.
So I was replaying our interview with Mike DeCourcy from the Sporting News. And by the way, if you missed that, you can go to our podcast page at stevejonesshow.com. You can also subscribe to our Steve Jones Show podcast on both iTunes and Google Play. You had mentioned about you guys were, you know, crisscrossing the conference and brought up Nebraska. I was, and since you brought up Northwestern, I was thinking of this when I was listening to the replay in regards to Northwestern. What has caused them to slip back this year? They made so much progress and made history last year. What's kind of gotten in their way this year in order for them that they haven't been able to build on that? Their record's going in the other direction.
Two factors. One, sometimes it's, you know, how often have I talked about how every team takes on its own personality? You add some people in, you lose some people in college. That's just the way college sports happens to be. You're not going to keep the same cast together. Sanjay Lumpkin, not a star on that team by any means, but a really good, rock-solid player, senior, guy that can get you a big basket when you need it, guy that can make a big defensive play when you need it, savvy, confident player, and a guy they can lean on a little bit in certain times. Well, he graduated. All right. Now, do they have people to replace him? Yes, but then there's the other part. Northwestern spent a lot of time last season being a really good team that snuck up on people. Well, now they're not sneaking up on anybody. They play you. That's Northwestern NCAA tournament team now. So when they're on your schedule, you already have the attention of everybody on your roster saying, okay, well, that's not the same old Northwestern. I mean, that's McIntosh, and that's Vic Law, and that's Derek Pardon, and that's Scotty Lindsey. And so they don't have that advantage anymore of being really good and not having the rest of the world understand they're really good, you know, because, you know, they played teams last year, and they're like, yeah, it's Northwestern. Well, they're winning. Well, yeah, I know they're winning. It's still Northwestern. They've never been to the tournament. Yep, that's right. It's Northwestern. And then when it's over, you're looking around and saying, man, they made the tournament. Well, this year they don't have that anymore. You've got people looking at them saying, it's Northwestern. Everybody dial in. They've got, you know, besides Lumpkin, but they've got everybody back, so they're good. And what's happened is you've had people dialed in and playing them in such a way where, especially where they've been hurt, is defensively. They haven't played, you know, man-to-man defense. When they played in the Jordan Center, Penn State shredded their man-to-man. I mean, shredded it. And it was right after that game where Chris Collins made what I think is a great coaching move. He got his team to play zone. Now, Penn State should have beaten them out there with Josh Reeves. I think they do, because Penn State, you know, first 30 minutes of the game, then the last 10 minutes, they didn't score. I was like, you got to be kidding me. All right, watching that play out, that was one of those you just got on the plane kept saying to yourself, you got to be kidding me, really? But that tells you, even, you know, Chris Collins knew that defensively they didn't match up with teams. They didn't match up with teams. And that's part of that's Lumpkin. Not having Lumpkin has hurt them. I mean, there's no getting around it. Now, I mean, Lumpkin, for goodness sakes, a fourth-year player, he had to go. You know? So, and by the way, John Rothstein is reporting from CBS that Cam Williams will play for Ohio State tomorrow night against Penn State. So his suspension evidently is now over. Fine. I feel the same way about all this stuff. People go, oh, is he going to play? It's like, who cares if he plays? Let him play. I'd rather see him play. You know, you want to find out how good you are? Play him where they're at full strength. You know, and you've heard me say that how many times, Sean?
Well, from almost day one since I joined the show, before I even joined you here, sure.
Hey, look.
Then you know you're getting that team's best shot from their best players.
Hey, you know what? He'll play. I'm sure he'll be motivated, but he's also been out a little bit, so we'll just see how it plays out. But yeah, good. Bring him on the trip. Play him. Go from there. You know, everybody's been preparing for him that way anyway, so.
They can only help you down the road if you happen to meet up with them again in the tournament.
Yeah, look. Ohio State's good enough. Penn State's good enough. Now you get to play, see how it plays out. And that's the most important part to me. The most important part to me is the fact that, okay, there doesn't have to be a laundry list of things that the other team has to do wrong for Penn State to win. Penn State's good enough to win on its own. Right? It's like there's not, just like Ohio State doesn't need a laundry list of Penn State things to go wrong for them to win. They're good enough to win. That's what makes the game an intriguing game. All right, we will take a break. We'll come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Sunbury Motors. All right, great to have you with us on the show today. Brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Said Jace called during the break.
Yes, from Mifflinburg. We appreciate that, Jace. He was just curious, since it is a big game with big stakes on the line tomorrow night. Mm-hmm. He was just curious why it's not on an ESPN and instead on BTN.
Very good question, and I can answer it simply for you, in that college basketball is different in the way things are set up schedule-wise as opposed to college football. In college football, you have some games determined before the season, then a series of games where 12 days out you find out the kickoff, and every once in a while there are three opportunities every season where it's a six-day window. College basketball isn't like that. College basketball determines the entire schedule as to what games are on what network in August, with the exception of one weekend. There's one weekend at the end of the season where they put some flexibility in with certain games as to what network they're going to put it on and why. So just like the Ohio State-Purdue game was a BTN game and not an ESPN game, which there's the conference lead on the line. There's Ohio State undefeated. One loss in league play. There's Purdue undefeated in league play head-to-head. That was not an ESPN game either, because back in August when they looked at the schedule, Ohio State was supposed to be a middle-of-the-pack team, and so it ended up BTN, while a Michigan State-Indiana game ended up being the Saturday night showcase game on ESPN. Well, same thing with this. It's been predetermined in August as to which games Penn State would have on ESPN and which ones would be on BTN. That way they've got the schedule set, and they're not moving games around from network to network. And, you know, there's so many college basketball games, and there's so many outlets between Fox Sports 1, Fox Sports, ESPN, ESPN 2, and BTN. They determine all of that in August. So the Penn State-Ohio State game was determined in August to be a BTN game. And once you make that move, it doesn't change. Okay.
Now that Fox is head deep. Now that Fox is in, deep with all the Big Ten stuff with basketball and of course with football. I was surprised that the main Fox network did not have the Michigan State Purdue game last Saturday. I knew CBS wasn't going to have it because they had Pebble Beach. They had the golf, because I know a lot of times CBS would have that creme de la creme, top five, top ten matchup of that weekend. But surprised that Fox didn't have that.
But again, that's determined through a draft or whatever in the month of August. Yeah, ESPN also has Tier 1 rights, as does Fox. So they then rotate as to who, what game goes where. And they determine ahead of time, with the exception of one weekend, where everything falls into play.
I knew Fox was able to get some of those really big football games in the fall, and I was just waiting for that one huge Big Ten matchup. I figured if there's one they'd be able to get, I figured it'd been that one.
But again, that is all determined in August. It's really done in a draft. So what does Fox have, for example? I mean, over the air, Fox, for example, coming up this weekend's not going to have on Sunday. I mean, college basketball, you got the Daytona 500, which I think is this weekend, right? That's on Sunday.
You are correct.
And so they've got that. So you're trying to work around certain weekends and certain times. And all of that in college basketball, 98 to 99% of it is determined and released in August. So that's how they do it. So we already know when the season starts what network Penn State's on for a particular game. I can tell you right now that the game Sunday at Purdue, BTN. Game Wednesday, Michigan, BTN. And the game at Nebraska, 5:15 on Sunday night, the last day of the regular season, is also BTN. And the reason I know that is in August they put the schedule out. So it's completely different than football, in that usually half the football schedule we know, the other half we don't. And that's where for example, like Penn State's going to play Ohio State next year here. Well, one's got to think there's pretty good odds that the game is going to be in prime time, right? And it's going to be determined ahead of time and so forth. But there are going to be other games along the way where Penn State's going to play at Rutgers. May not find out that one until 12 days ahead. College basketball, I can tell you in August exactly what the schedule is for 30 of the 31 regular season games. There's always that one float weekend where you're not sure if it's a Saturday or Sunday, and they usually make that decision a couple weeks out. So it's a really good question, Jace, because I think it's really important that fans know how things work. And I'm glad you asked that question. That way we can explain how it works. Andrew Callahan on today's show, Dave Repson tomorrow, Matt Leon tomorrow, Neil Coulong tomorrow, Nathan Davis on Friday. Today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Great to have you with us today. By the way, appreciate Jace's question very much. That's the big difference. They determine in August. Sometimes a network lucks out. BTN lucked out with Purdue and Ohio State, where they got the game. And it didn't go to ESPN or to Fox because it was predetermined. And that's how it works in college basketball. Andrew Callahan, next half hour, we'll talk with him about the showdown with Ohio State coming up tomorrow night. First of all, this day in sports history, the NHL held its first All-Star game to benefit injured star Ace Bailey. Toronto played a team of All-Stars from the seven other teams in the league at the time. That was 1934. 1966, Rick Mount of Lebanon, Indiana, became the first high school athlete to be pictured on the cover of Sports Illustrated. Rick Mount was a great shooter. Ended up going to Purdue. I will be at Mackey Arena on Sunday. Mackey Arena essentially is the house that Rick Mount built, because the popularity of basketball in the state so high because of him and going to Purdue, they then built Mackey Arena. He then went to the ABA and had an okay pro career, not what some people had expected. 1966, CBS bought the rights of the NFL's 66 and 67 championship games for $2 million per game. Bobby Allison became the oldest driver to win the Daytona 500 in 1988. Mario Lemieux, his 46-game scoring streak came to an end on this date in 1990, the second longest in NHL history. And In 2003, a Florida judge issued a warrant for the arrest of Jose Canseco. He had violated his probation that stemmed from a nightclub brawl in 2001. On March 17th, he was sentenced to 2 years of house arrest and 3 years of probation. And that is this day in sports history. Getting everybody up to date on that. Bucknell will be back in action Saturday. Got Holy Cross, right? I know we're going to get Nathan on the show on Friday.
Yep, that'll be a noon tip on Saturday, so 11:30 a.m. the network will be up and running over on Eagle 107.
What a great win for them the other night. That was a great win for them to be down like that and to win. That does a lot for any team's confidence. At the same time, it's also a teaching moment for Nathan. Hey, look, you're going to take everybody's best shot. Hey, don't think you're just going to walk out there and and have everybody roll over for you because the name of the front says Bucknell. You're going to have to fight your guts out to win. And that is great for them that they won. It's also great that you can teach that while winning. Instead of trying to come back from a loss. All right. So that to me is really important. The Olympics, Shaun White won a gold medal last night. He's 31 now. He didn't win a medal in Sochi. He was asked afterward about an alleged incident. It took place with a band or something like that. And
yeah, he's actually in a band, his band.
Yeah.
Someone a couple years ago. Yeah, working for him.
Yeah. And the details of which I don't know, but he kind of blew it off. He was criticized for that. He was criticized for dragging the American flag on the snow. Like, the guy just exerted himself, all over the place. He probably dragged the snowboard, too. I don't know. There's a lot of criticism of everything out there. Now, by the way, being asked about whatever incident from a couple of years ago, it's completely legit, by the way, in a press conference. There's nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with him being asked that question.
Yeah, quite a bounce back for him. He had two, 3 months ago, he was in, I think it was in New Zealand. Well, anyway, he was on a run, he was in a competition, and had to have close to 60 stitches on his face, very badly injured. And then you flip it back to this competition, specifically in the half pipe, his second run down the hill, he only scored like a 55. So all the chips were on the table, what a great turnaround.
Well, he ended up having the second and third best runs last night. It was live, too. You can tell NBC is desperate beyond words to get Michaela Schifrin on TV somewhere. Because so far, the only action she has had at the Olympics is climbing into the van, going to the top of the mountain, climbing out of the van, looking around saying, this is bad, climbing back into the van and going back to the Olympic Village because of the weather.
Yeah, there's a lot of pressure on them to get that schedule rolling and in such a compressed amount of time.
Yeah, so that's what they're facing. And again, you know, I mean, she's got some star power. I mean, to a point she does. Again, when you disappear for 4 years at a time, and I have to reintroduce everybody, so it's not quite, you know. But they've built a lot around her and a lot around Lindsey Vonn. They built a lot around Shaun White. Is there anybody else they've built a lot around?
Yeah, those are the main ones.
I think those are the three they built a lot around.
Mm-hmm.
Not really any of the figure skaters, right? There's no real I mean, they'll show a lot of figure skating. Obviously, they're, you know, and by the way, one quick note on the North Korean pairs skaters. Just so you know, they legitimately qualified for the Olympics. They went through all the qualifying. They actually had, like, had earned spots. The question is whether they're going to be allowed in, and fortunately for them, they were allowed in. They earned it. So this was not a gift like it is for the hockey team, where the Korean Unified Hockey Team is playing, and as the host country, they're allowed to play. I mean, and so, I don't know, there are four or five North Koreans playing on the with the South Korean hockey team. It's not a gift like that. These two earn their way in. But the difference is when they're done, people wanted to talk to them. Nope, couldn't talk to them. Okay. It's great. And I think they're in 11th place right now. The Americans, I want to say, are 7th, 8th, somewhere around there. I mean, the problem is, in something like this, look, the American factor is big, okay? It's huge. I'm watching speed skating for a period of time last night. And Shawnee Davis came up, and look, if you're 7th or 8th at the Olympics, you're really, let's be honest about it. You're pretty darn good. But again, the podium says for 2nd or 3rd. So he gets out there, and he did not have the best run, so you could tell right away he's not going to get on the podium. Well, at that point, my interest starts to wane. I don't know who these other people are. I mean, do you know? Yeah, I went to Illinois, and so we had dinner on Saturday night, and it was in the sports bar in the hotel. Okay. So on our side, there were four TVs. One had the had Virginia Tech basketball on it. One had golf from Pebble Beach. The other one had BTN on, so it went from basketball eventually to wrestling. And the other one had on the Olympics, and it was cross-country skiing. Okay. So then the next morning, Dick Girardi and I go down for breakfast, and the TVs are on. And once again, they had on cross-country skiing. So at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, we went down for dinner before the game, because the arena is right next to the hotel. So we wanted to get dinner before we went over to broadcast the game. And guess what? The TV's on, and it's cross-country skiing. I've had enough of cross-country skiing. I don't want to watch it. Like, we're done. At one point, there was a crash. We thought that was kind of exciting. But that was about it. But if there's no American factor in it, my interest wanes. I don't know about you, Sean.
I want to try to dial in and give it my best attention, but I think that is the struggle, just not having a big pile of household names and all the various, you know, main sports in the Winter Olympics to you know, grasp on and follow, just not knowing most of the American athletes that are involved with it. You know, you're kind of behind the eight ball. It doesn't get the juices flowing.
Well, again, look at the hockey team, for example. Okay. I am interested in the U.S.-Canada hockey game. They're the only two women's hockey teams in the world. I mean, they're so separated from the rest of the pack. All right, so I'm interested in watching that game. As somebody who loves hockey, and I love hockey, I have no interest in watching the men's hockey tournament at the Olympics because the NHL guys aren't there. It's also disappointing for some of the people, the venues they go to, because guess what? Those are the guys that walk around the Olympic Village and they go, hey, there's Crosby, there's Ovechkin, they're actually the known quantities. They're looking over going, and you are who? I mean, even the Olympic Village. I mean, the NBA guys, when they go to the Olympics, hey, Usain Bolt may be a star, not even on the same planet as the NBA guys when they walk around the Olympic Village. I mean, they're not even the same stratosphere. And anybody, you know, and again, I can see the suit going crazy right now over this, but that's just a, it's just a fact. They'll tell you, okay, Carmelo, who may be to me, you know, or Russell Westbrook or LeBron or whomever it might be on the U.S. basketball team, walking around the Olympic Village, and there's Usain Bolt. Who do you think the fans are going to go after? Okay, they're going to go to LeBron. They're going to go to Carmelo. They're going to go to Russ, because NBA stars are international stars. Okay, Usain Bolt. It's like, okay, oh yeah, it's a fast guy. And they'll tell you at the Olympic Village, the NBA guys. Same thing with the NHL guys. They'll tell you the NHL guys went around Sochi. Of course, Vancouver isn't obvious, but they went around Sochi and they were the draw all over the place. Wow, there's Malkin. Wow, there's Crosby. Wow, there's Ovechkin. I mean, it was a big deal to get them to come over there. Huge.
And how about Slovenia this morning? They erased a 2-goal deficit and they defeated the United States in overtime in their first game.
No, I cheated. We'll come back with more in a moment. What? Did I say something wrong?
No.
We'll come back with more in a moment.
We'll see how fast he runs down the hall.
We'll come back with more. But again, there's no cachet. There's no cachet. This is a struggle. This is a struggle for them, right? To have it like this. You've lost a lot of star power in this thing, and to try and figure out who the stars are in a few days is not, you know. You need some American stars out there. Now, I'll give you an example. Let's talk about somebody who didn't make the Olympic team, right? And she didn't make it because she was legitimately beaten out by three other people. But Ashley Wagner, at least in terms of, I mean, people know who she is. She's at least a star. They don't have her. You can say, well, they'll make new stars. You got to do something to be a star. This can't just make it up. And it's not easy when a great speed skater from the Netherlands, who's a star in the Netherlands, you've got people in this country who don't know who he is. I know they're doing their best they can to introduce it, but it does create a barrier that's hard for the casual fan to get engaged, because it just is. We'll come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Sunbury Motors.
The competition is on! And this month, Sunbury Motors is going for the gold! February is the month to get Olympic-sized savings at SMC. Sunbury Motors Ford is having their annual President's Day sales event. Plus, it's Truck Month. SMC is where you want to be to choose from four city blocks of new Fords. SMC has discounts up to 16 grand.
And some vehicles are at half price.
SMC is where you want to be to save up to $16,000 on new Ford trucks. And they start as low as $25,919. Choose from over 50 of the top-selling Ford Escape, and they're slashed to $19,980. SMC has the best hidden secret in the car business. Take over $15,000 off a C-Max Energy.
That's more than half off.
Lease it for only $179 a month for 36 months with zero down.
That's right, nothing down.
And it includes tax tags, plus the first payment is taken care of.
Hurry, there's only 8 left.
SMC is where you want to be for Olympic-sized savings during Truck Month and the President's Day sales event. Sunbury Motors Ford in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury.
All right, welcome back. Great to have you with us on the show today. Andrew Callahan in the next half hour. We'll talk to him about basketball as the Nittany Lions get ready to take on Ohio State tomorrow night in the Jordan Center at 8. I'm beginning at 7:30 tomorrow night. And yes, there will be a coaches show tomorrow night. Keith Urko is going to be on the basketball park. Mark Pavlik from volleyball. And I'll have a half hour to go from one location to the other. And we'll work it out with complete ease. So that'll be fine. So that's what we have coming up. But again, star power is something that is not easy with the Olympics. It's just not. And NBC's done a good job of taking Universal, and with Universal, they've been able to turn it into the Olympic Channel. That way, if you want to keep up to date on what's going on over the 3 years, 3.5 years where these people are, you know, these great athletes, really in anonymity. Yeah, I saw a little bit of downhill racing on the Olympic Channel and so forth. Maybe a little qualifying here and there, but I mean, at least they're trying, it's smart on their part because they're making an attempt to try and at least be actively involved in trying to give everybody a head start on who the athletes happen to be. But it's not easy. It's just not easy. And that's the struggle they have. I mean, not having skiing has meant that nobody has seen Lindsey Vonn ski yet. Nobody has seen Michaela Schifrin ski yet. And even their name, right? I mean, Lindsey Vonn's a far more recognizable name. But even that is a struggle. So, you know, I mean, Troy says he likes to watch the Olympics to see the next star. It's blah, blah, blah. It's nice. But it's, again, you're trying to draw casual fans into it. In other words, I'm sitting there, again, but Troy points out something. He likes to see who the next star is. But who did he point out? Shaun White. Okay. That goes right back to exactly what I've been saying, Troy. Exactly. You fell right into it. What is Shaun White? What is he? Shaun White's an American. People will watch if there's an American in contention. That's the difference. Okay? I mean, Troy, you fell right into it. You made my argument with complete and absolute ease. Why do you? Why? What drew you to Shaun White? He's an American. Okay, you need Americans in contention. In other words, he could be the greatest speed skater in the history of speed skating, and he's from the Netherlands, and you're like, I don't know. Right? I mean, that's the whole difference. You need, like, very rare when you get an Usain Bolt who transcends from another country. Maybe over time, Olga Korbut or Nadia Comaneci, because they did things that. But that era's past, too. It's, again, if they have the label of American attached to success, people will watch. So, Troy, it's not just you want to see the next emerge. Okay? You said Shaun White wasn't known. But Shaun White's an American. That's my point. That, you made my point for me. Thank you. The problem is that these Olympics, the Americans aren't doing well enough right now or haven't participated yet.